listening to ESL Talk, a podcast made for English teachers by English teachers.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hello everyone, welcome to another new episode of ESL Talk. In this episode, we're going to be talking about teaching English to Spanish-speaking professionals, and our special guest Charlie is going to join us to talk all about how he does this effectively and how he's actually built a business teaching Spanish-speaking professionals online. First of all, just want to say thank you for your great engagement and interaction with our episode last week, which was getting started in the ESL industry with our guest Erica. She really enjoyed being a part of it, and thank you so much for all of your feedback and comments on that episode. But today we're switching gears and we're going to find out all about Spanish-speaking professionals specifically. Charlie's going to talk to us about how he helps students communicate effectively in their workplaces, strategies for breaking down language barriers, how to help learners improve pronunciation, build vocabulary, and gain confidence. This is really important for us teaching our students online as well. So whether you're a beginner or an experienced teacher, hopefully the interview will be really helpful for you and give you some insights on this huge market, because there are a lot of speakers, Spanish speakers, living in Europe and in Latin America who really need help improving their English skills. So hopefully you can learn something from this, and you might even think about teaching Spanish speaking professionals as well. So before we get into the interview, just a shout out to our sponsor, ESL-curriculum.com, which offers 600 plus interactive ESL lessons that are ready to go. Simply sign up for your 2-week free trial at ESL-curriculum.com. You can access all the courses there, whether you teach speaking, writing, kids, business English, or IELTS. You are covered with all those ready to go lessons. Just sign up and you're good to go. And if you haven't already, feel free to subscribe to us on iTunes or Spotify. You can leave us a review if you enjoy what you hear. It really helps us to grow and to continue creating new content for you every week. And also, if you'd like to be a guest on a future episode, we're always on the lookout for new guests. We have a really long list, which is great, so we can keep producing content regularly. You can just go to our website, esl-talk.com, where you can click the link at the top, be a guest. You can fill in a couple of short details, and then we can arrange a time to meet for you to talk about what it is you love in the world of ESL teaching or in education. So we'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to be a guest, feel free to let us know. And then finally, if you're not following us on Instagram yet, feel free to do so at ESL Talk Podcast. And also on YouTube, we have all of our previous episodes now available for you on YouTube, along with some other video clips and little extra bonuses for you there. So you can just find us on YouTube at ESL Talk Podcast, and you can find all our episodes there for free as well. So we're now going to bring in our guest today, Charlie, who's going to talk to us specifically on how he teaches English to Spanish-speaking professionals. So let's get started. Here we go.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
All right, there we go. Hi, Charlie. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. Great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to learn a little bit from you today and to talk a little bit more about how to teach English to Spanish-speaking professionals. So first of all, Charlie, could you just tell us a little bit about you and your journey in teaching so far?
Yeah, so I essentially, I'm from Chicago originally, and in college I studied journalism. And I worked as a journalist. And then right after that, when I was 22, I moved to Costa Rica, and it was originally not necessary. I mean, teaching English was more of like a way to, you know, have a job, be there. And the main intention was to learn Spanish to then be able to go back to the United States and have an advantage in journalism in that market. And then I ended up staying there for 3 years. So that plan didn't go as planned. I got my TEFL certificate. I did kind of the traditional route of working at a language school. And then there came a point in the pandemic where I ended up leaving the language school. I worked there for about a year and a half. I had somewhat of an advantage because I'm a language learner myself. I speak Spanish, Portuguese, and I'm kind of in the middle of learning German right now. And so when I ended up leaving the language school, I could do, advertising and communication to people that were in Costa Rica in their native language. And so that kind of paved the way to having my own company. And again, for a while, it was mainly just to keep working and staying in Costa Rica. And then I think, maybe about a year and a half ago is when I really started taking things seriously and got on social media, Instagram, yeah, also some online platforms, iTalki, Cambly, and now more than anything, I have kind of my independent students. I'm still on iTalki a little bit, and that's pretty much my journey right now. The structure of my business is kind of I have a members club. That's where all my students are kind of collected, and they get access to these weekly online lessons. And then you can get into like group courses and private courses as well, which are a little bit, it's more of an investment, but they get, not only digital courses, coaching sessions, they also get everything that, the members get. And I'm starting a conversation club soon, so that's going to be cool. But yeah, that's kind of my journey, and that's where I'm at right now. So that's a little bit of an introduction.
No, that's great. And it seems like you followed the footprint that a lot of us did. didn't really want to be teachers per se, but just got into it, fell into it, and made it our passion and grew something. And like you said, you started on the online platforms, and more you're transitioning away from them to doing your own business, which is what we've talked about in a lot of episodes. So it's good to hear that you're following that trajectory. So you work a lot, obviously, with Spanish-speaking professionals, working people, adults. So first of all, when they come to you for help, for guidance, what are you finding are the main challenges or the main difficulties that these kinds of students are having?
Yeah, it's interesting because in Latin America, there's like different categories of language learners. I mean, most people in Latin America don't speak English really at all. And so there's some people that come and they say, hey, I want to learn English like from zero or from maybe step one, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's this other category of, you know, professionals who speak English to a certain extent, but they don't feel as comfortable in the workplace. They just want to, you know, get from maybe a B2 to a C1 or a high level to a comfortable level or they say fluent level. And I try to push them away from that type of, you know, language and tell them that they already speak fluently because most of them already do. But That's usually the case. And more than anything, it's people who work with companies and they have to speak in English and they can do it, but they don't always feel, you know, comfortable and confident about it.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And I've found that myself with people that I've worked with from Latin America. Their conversational English is great, maybe just, you know, the accuracy of certain vocabulary or pronunciation, which is what I wanted to ask you about, because I find, and I'm sure you have two Spanish-speaking students, even though we can understand pretty much everything they say, they really struggle with some parts of pronunciation. Now, obviously, that's because of the sounds and then the linguistic makeup of Spanish. But what are some things that you can do or that you try with students to help them with their pronunciation? Are there any specific things you like to do?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, I basically break it down into two types of methods. Like you have the macro method of, you know, what are the sounds like in Spanish and what are the sounds like in English, comparing them, showing them examples. So, you know, one of the common ones I see is like, you know, the SH and CH, people kind of get them confused. A lot of my students at first say Charlie instead of Charlie. Right. And, you know, they actually have the CH sound in Spanish. And so I just tell them, hey, you know, pretend you're saying chancho or chicharrón, and then they'll say, oh, okay, Charlie. And it's easy. So I think, you know, for me, the advantage of knowing Spanish really helps with saying, hey, you know, this pattern, it actually is pronounced like this. And then on a micro level, you know, when it's just words, I will usually, you know, if they mispronounce a word, I will write the word, I will write out the syllables and then like put in bold, like the stress of the word. And usually that will be enough for them. I'll repeat it. And but a lot of times, like Spanish, like some of the constructions of words are quite similar to English, but the stress of the word is very different. And they have a more consistent stress pattern. Like pronunciation in Spanish makes a lot of sense. In English, it makes almost zero sense.
That's
and
true.
So to individually show them like, hey, you know, here the stress is on the last syllable. They're already saying, you know, the word pretty close. We can understand it. And so, you know, just those short corrections, I do those too.
Right. And I guess, like you said, learning Spanish and going through that process helps you kind of give them the right information to compare the differences in structures 100%. As well. Yeah. So the biggest issue I faced is confidence. So a lot of, you know, my clients that I've worked with, they need to lead meetings, they need to do interviews, they have to do, you know, back and forth with maybe clients in the States or Canada or the UK, and they really feel that they don't have the confidence to do that. So what are some tips that you might use with your students to help them feel more confident or have the confidence they need to do these different tasks?
Yeah, I just simulate the situation that they have with them. It's pretty straightforward, but you know, to give you an example, I have a client who he works in the restaurant business and he speaks with providers. He took a handful of English classes, and you know, a lot of the teachers were like, you know, you need to learn the grammar first, you need to learn the vocab first, and then we can like talk about what you're doing for work. And he came to me, and I was like, all right, you talk to providers. All right, let's, what does the provider do? What does the provider say? And so then we just do a little role play. It takes 5 minutes.
Yep.
I give him some corrections, some feedback, do it again, do it again, do it again. We do it five times. And then tomorrow he speaks to the provider. He's like, I practiced this five times yesterday. Like, exactly. I know how to do it. And then my clients will usually come back to me and be like, yeah, it went better. And sometimes there's nerves. Like I get it. That is sometimes easier said than done. But you know, I will tell my clients like, hey, you know, you're never going to be as prepared as you want to be for that situation. So, you know, usually after the first two or three or four meetings that they have, the nerves go a little bit away. You know, they never fully go away.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, just simulating the situation, that's like, it's not even like a tip or a hack. It's just like practical. And then they can go to work and do the situation.
Yeah. And like you just mentioned, other teachers don't pick up on that and don't think, oh, maybe we should just start with task-based learning, applying what you already know to the situations you need it for. It's, you know, you can have grammar or you can have vocabulary as a component of that, but essentially let's just practice what you need it for. And it makes perfect sense. So this is something that I think a lot of teachers need to do when they first start to meet learners is what do they need it for and how can they start to apply it and to improve those skills and confidence as well. So again, like, you know, I've talked to you a little bit before, Charlie, and I've looked at what you offer. You have some really great offerings for your adult learners. How do you create engaging, relevant materials? Like, how do you put your materials together and how do you create those lessons in a professional setting to meet the needs of your students?
Yeah, I think before creating a course or a challenge or any type of, you know, material that you're going to use with students, you need to understand what the student needs. And that's something that, you know, at the beginning, you know, we all start out not really knowing because we're starting, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, I felt pretty comfortable after about 3 years teaching Spanish speakers. You would just see the same cases one after another, after another, after another. And from there, I kind of took like, what are the problems that they face? And then how can we solve them? Mm-hmm. And so again, it was a very practical approach where, you know, I have a background in, you know, traditional English teaching. I can explain grammar, vocab, pronunciation. But when it comes down to it, it's, you know, taking the situations that your students or clients are facing and then being able to solve them. So for the case of Spanish speaking professionals, you know, it's usually meetings and emails. And then there's cultural differences as well. So I'll sure. take time to explain that as well. And then at the end of the program that I have, I have an option if they want to do, you know, resume review and job interview practice as well. So it ends up being a pretty short, like, you know, 3 to 4 months maybe. But you know, if they end up learning a ton because it's more related to, you know, what they do. And so I find that, you know, I combine that in like a digital course with the one-on-one coaching sessions where we do the personalized training. And, you know, that you don't really have to engage people like professionals that are trying to get better at their job and you're simulating their situations. I don't find myself trying to like make my students speak. Like they usually want to practice that situation so they can feel more comfortable. So
yes,
I found that, you know, just keeping it simple and relevant to the students' needs is the best idea, and then practicing their situations.
Yeah, great advice. And I like that way that you've approached it of, here's the digital stuff that you have that I can help you with. Here's the one-to-one to help you personally. And then you can put all that together in a great little kind of...
Took a while to get there.
Yeah, but it's a great approach. And I like the way, again, what is it that you need? How can I help you and how can I apply it to what you need specifically? So you talked a little bit about your course and your programs, which, you know, again, I've mentioned are really effective and look like they're really useful. How do you use technology or how do you incorporate technology is there anything specific that you think this technology or this tool works well for Spanish speakers, or is it just a general way that you look at it?
I don't know if I have anything specific, but there are a handful of methods that I personally use. So my members club is on like my website, and it's a new class each week. And so often it's really nice. Originally I created the club more for people like to take a new class each week, but more and more I'm seeing like, you know, I can use it with my one-on-one clients. So let's say, you know, we're studying, you know, emails. And I've got a client who's not asking questions in the correct way. I can say, hey, like after class, check out this module in the members club. We look at questions, do those exercises. And so that's kind of like, it's not necessarily it is a platform, but it's my platform. And, I use that. And then the other thing I like to do is, I have a private course that's a fluency accelerator course. That's what it's called. And in the first class, what I like to do with the client or the student is, you know, take the hobbies and habits that they have in their native language and replicate them into English. And replicate is the important part, not replace, because that's not sustainable. They're always going to consume content in their native language. And so, you know, we do a guided search. I have a document, like an Excel sheet that we go through, a guided search of, you know, where are they spending time on social media? You know, what type of content are they consuming? All right. And then we're going to look at how we can do that in English. And so, you know, that for me has proven very effective. And I used to just give students the tip, hey, like, do things in English that you're doing in your native language. And they're like, oh yeah, that's pretty simple. But you know, now that I go through it with students, they understand it a lot more. And right. So, you know, one example, I'm learning German right now. I've applied this method to my German listening where I wanted to listen to a podcast. I like podcasts. And I was a journalist. I used to be a journalist. And so I like news podcasts. And I searched, you know, German news podcasts. And you'll see a lot of results. You know, there's a ton of podcasts. I listened to the first one, didn't really like it. The second one, it was cool, but it was really long and it was not really something that I could do every day. Mm-hmm. And after about three or four, I found one that was about 13 minutes every day. You know, I could listen to it in the morning. But it took like 45 minutes to get there, which most, I realized, like, you know, most students, if you just tell them a tip and they go 45 minutes and it doesn't work, they're not going to continue with it. True. But I say, like, hey, you know, I spent 45 minutes to find a habit that I've been practicing for a year and a half now. Like, it is worth it. So that's why I try to walk through it with each client and find it like on the platform that they're already using, because then they will subconsciously open the platform and be practicing English and it won't really feel like homework. And so I think, like, in terms of technology, I prefer to find the student where they're already at. You know, I've tried to introduce new technologies into, you know, my programs, and they've had varying success levels, but, you know, if the student's already using that platform, it's such an easy, you know, it's a slam dunk. So, hey, you know, on that platform, we're going to find something in English. So it appears when you open it every day.
Amazing. And that's good. Yeah. This is something we always say, don't reinvent the wheel, just improve what you already have and just use what you already have, which is great advice. Okay. Wonderful. So, obviously, you've worked with a lot of students. You've been at this for a few years now. Are there any particular success stories or notable achievements of your students that come to mind where you're like, wow, I played a part in helping this student do this, or I was able to play a role in helping a student to do that? What comes to your mind?
Yeah, I have a handful, thankfully. And because I work with like professionals, they're all kind of like, you know, tangible. They're like material achievements. And so, you know, I've had one student who, he was an engineer, and, you know, he ended up becoming a senior engineer because he was able to speak English. And it was, a lot of it was a confidence thing where, you know, I always tell my students and clients, hey, you know, any opportunity you have at work, you know, tell your boss, hey, I'm interested in sitting in on English meetings. And, you know, eventually that leads to, and most people are very shy. And so if you're the one that says, hey, I'm interested, you know, this particular student, he's sat in a couple meetings and he led a meeting, then he's gotten promotion since. And now, you know, he's the go-to guy. And that story has replicated five or six times, just because it's a lot of times in these companies, it's people who have a certain level of English. And yes, you know, your level is a certain, you know, that determines a little bit of who's going to be leading the meeting, but oftentimes it's the confidence. If I say, hey, just go in there, ask your boss if you can go to the meetings, if you can lead the meetings, you know, participate at least in the English meetings. And that usually works pretty well. And I've had a handful of students as well who have gotten, like, we'll practice English job interviews. They end up getting jobs. That's quite common. you know, simulating the answers that they would have. And then, you know, just going the extra mile, similar to, you know, asking to sit in on meetings, say, hey, you know, feel free to, you know, you can make a short, a 3-page presentation of why you want to work at the company, send it to the boss. It's in English. It takes 10 minutes to do, and you're the only one who did it. And so oftentimes, you know, you go the extra mile without, you know, of course you have to look at the amount of effort that you're doing. You don't want to be spending 20 hours on, you know, going the extra mile. But those types of things with, you know, consistent English practice have usually led to good results. And so actually, when you leave the links to, you know, my socials, the listeners can see on my members club page, a handful of, testimonials, results from students who've gotten jobs and new opportunities. Yeah.
Incredible. It's great. And these little things, they might not have even realized, oh yeah, that does make sense. And just by opening their eyes to that, you could hopefully have a really positive impact on their lives going forward. So we do have a lot of listeners who do teach Spanish speaking students or professionals. So what advice, what are some tips that you'd have for them? Maybe they're just starting out in the journey or they're kind of new to it. What advice would you share with them to help them be successful?
Learn Spanish. I know that there's this continuous debate of, you know, whether to use the native language in an English mm-hmm. class or not. But, you know, Spanish is such a big, it's an enormous language. So many learners speak the language and just mm-hmm. from a marketing side, I mean, even the ones yeah. that speak English, they come to me in Spanish first. And yes. so, you know, that's one of the languages where, you know, you really should learn it if you're going to teach Spanish speakers, and especially, like, you know, if you're teaching them more refined things. And there's enough English speakers who do speak Spanish that, you know, if you don't Very learn true. Spanish, you might be at a disadvantage, because mm-hmm. a lot of Spanish speakers will seek out English speakers who speak some Spanish. So I think yes. that's the most important part. And then from there, you know, just being organized and understanding the cultural differences. Like for me, you know, in Costa Rica, it's very common where, you know, if you're making plans with someone, the other person might not come on time and they might not tell you. And for me, like that's like one of my pet peeves. I really, really don't like that. And especially in business. In business, I see it as disrespectful. But, you know, if you're going to be teaching, and this goes with any culture, you have to understand the nuances of the culture. And when you teach those people, you have to be prepared for those situations. Mm-hmm. And so what I've done, you know, I have about 5 or 6 policies of like, hey, here's the late policy. Here's the attendance policy. Here's the Wi-Fi policy. If the Wi-Fi goes out, here's the payment policy. And that way you're protecting yourself against, you know, if someone shows up late or if they don't come to class or if, you know, they let you know that they can't come to class 5 minutes before, you know, you're protected in some way against it. So, mm-hmm. you know, and almost all of my, you know, this happened at the beginning of my business where a lot of people, they would not tell me that they're not coming to class, or they would come to class late, or they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't want to pay for a class they didn't come to. And, you know, I was always facing this, like, oh, what do I do? Do I refund the class? Do I have them not pay? Like, do I still charge them? Once I created those policies, it has never been a question. And the students understand it too. They're very understanding. I show them that on the first day. I send them a welcome sheet with, you know, here's your goals, here's the course, and here are the policies. We go through them together. And so everything is, you know, completely clear. And mm-hmm. yeah, I think that in for any type of English teaching business, you know, with any type of client, I think it's good to have policies. But this was one where, you know, I saw a pattern. And so I said, hey, you know, this is the policy, you know, you get one chance. Like, if you don't tell me and you don't show up, hey, you know, you get one excuse, you one chance to, you know, everybody has emergencies. But after that, you know, it's my time. I was here. So, you know, I think the two things I would say is, you know, learn Spanish and then, you know, have some type of policies and organization. Yeah.
Sounds good. Good advice. So finally then, how can our listeners connect with you? How can they find out more about what you do? What would be the best way to get in touch with you, Charlie?
Yeah. So I'm on I think Instagram would probably be the best way. I'm at profe_Charlie, profe, P-R-O-F-E. And yeah, I'm sure you'll leave the links in the description.
Yep, I'll put them underneath. Yep.
Yeah. So, and on there, I have a link tree in my bio, so you can check out the members club newsletter. You can have a free consultation if you're interested in courses and classes. And yeah, for any of the teachers who, you know, they just want more perspective, like send me a message. I'm happy to talk.
Appreciate that. And that's great. And I like what you said before about learning Spanish, because a lot of the content you post, you either post it speaking Spanish with English subtitles or vice versa. And then that just helps you appeal to a much wider base of potential clients, which I really like as well. Awesome. I'll drop all the links in the description below, but it was a really interesting chat and to know more about Spanish speakers as well. So thanks for your time, Charlie. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Daniel. It was a good time.
Okay, so there you have it. Thank you so much, Charlie, for sharing your expertise and insights into teaching Spanish-speaking professionals. I will drop the link to his Instagram and to his Members Club page, so you can see how he does things and how he successfully teaches lots of Spanish speakers every single month. So that was Charlie, and that was today's episode. Before you do go, don't forget to give us a follow on Instagram if you haven't already, and ESL Talk Podcast. You can also visit our website and apply to be a member on a future episode. Just go to esl-talk.com and you can find the link there, be a guest, fill in some information. You can also find out more about myself and Faye, the hosts, as well as looking at all our previous episodes for free from all the last 5 seasons. We also have a link there to our YouTube, so do feel free to subscribe to us on YouTube if you prefer listening or watching that way as well. And then finally, don't forget to check out our partner, esl-curriculum.com. That's Crystal Clear ESL, where you can get access to 600+ ready-made, ready-prepared ESL classes. And it covers all different types of English that you might teach online. So if you teach speaking, writing, IELTS, kids, or business, we've got you covered with a free 2-week trial and over 600+ interactive lessons ready to go straight out of the gate. All right, that is it for this week. We'll be back again for another brand new episode next week. Thank you so much for your support, and we'll see you soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe for even more ESL teaching content.